Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. We read verses 3 through 8. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So far from God's holy word. Beloved of God, if you were to go to the southeastern peak of Mount Carmel today, you would see an impressive statue of the prophet Elijah with a sword raised sort of over his head, like about this, raising in victory to heaven. This statue was built as a tribute to the victory that Elijah had given God over the false prophets of Baal. Elijah had challenged these idol worshippers, these worshippers of Baal, to a contest to prove whose God was the true God. Was it Baal or was it the Lord? And as part of this contest, each would offer a sacrifice on the altar. Elijah would then pray to the Lord, the false prophets would pray to Baal, and whoever's God was able to consume the sacrifice with fire, he would be proven to be the true God. People all over Israel gathered on the mountain to see this. They watched in anticipation as the prophets of Baal wailed and mourned, as they cut themselves with swords and spears. They cried out, they pleaded all day long for their God to consume this sacrifice with fire. But of course, there was no response. Then it was Elijah's turn. Elijah prepared the sacrifice, he cut up the bull, placed it on the altar, and for good measure, just to make sure that no one could say that he had an advantage, he put himself at a distinct disadvantage. He had the people bring eight large jars of water, and he had them douse everything with it. Everything was completely wet, there were pools of water. And then Elijah prayed to the Lord that he would prove that he was the only true God, not just in that land, but in all the world. The Lord responded quickly. It didn't take Elijah to plead with God all day, to cut himself, to do any of those things that the prophets of Baal tried. But he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered right away. He responded by raining down fire from heaven that not only burned up the sacrifice, but also the wood and the stones for the altar, also the soil beneath it, and it even licked up all the water that had pooled underneath the altar. In response to seeing this great miracle, the people bowed down, they bowed their faces to the ground, and they cried out, "The Lord, He is God. Jehovah, the Lord, He is God." And then at Elijah's command, those false prophets of Baal were seized and they were put to death. It was an incredible display of the Lord's awesome power. Not only had those prophets of Baal been defeated, but the Lord also answered another prayer of Elijah. At this time, there had been a drought in the land for 3.5 years. And Elijah prayed that this drought would end, and immediately the rain came. And so as Elijah came down from Mount Carmel, he must have been brimming with just excitement, confidence, eager to do the Lord's work, eager to do whatever the Lord had for him. But as we get to our text for today, we couldn't see a more different picture. Instead of a triumphant prophet standing atop Mount Carmel with his hand raised up in the air, we see a worn-out, defeated shell of a man lying under a broom tree in despair. It's quite the contrast. And it's even more of a contrast when you consider that these events didn't take place too far apart. Just a couple days after all of this. It's just the very next chapter in Kings. It's hard to believe that Elijah could go from such great victory, such a great moment, to this despair that we see him in such a short amount of time. But let's think about that for a minute. We get that, don't we? Because that's what life is like. That's what the world is like. It's this series of highs and lows. It's of triumphs and failures, of victory and defeat, of happiness, disappointment. Sometimes it seems like those lows outnumber the highs. And so we know what it's like to be where Elijah was, to be in that moment of despair. And at those moments when we feel that despair, those are the moments that we are the most open to the temptations of Satan. That's when he comes to us and makes us question whether God is a loving God, whether he cares for us. He causes us to forget all that the Lord has done for us. But through our text today, the Holy Spirit renews our confidence in God's love. It renews our confidence that God is a God who protects. God is a God who strengthens us for the journey through this life on our way to heaven. And we're reminded that the Lord is our strength in our times of need. When we've had enough, he provides. So what was it that drove Elijah to this place, sleeping under this broom tree? We just heard about that great victory that Elijah had on Mount Carmel. And on the basis of that, Elijah had hoped that the whole nation was finally going to turn from their idolatry and turn to the Lord. From the very beginning of the divided kingdom, the nation of Israel was fully immersed in idolatry. Their very first king, King Jeroboam, built idols for them to worship in the northern kingdom. And from that point on, there was worship of idols going on almost the whole time. But perhaps this was going to be what was going to lead them back. King Ahab himself was there. He witnessed the glory of the Lord. He saw all that the Lord had done and all that Baal had failed to be able to do. Perhaps he would turn from his ways, finally acknowledge the great power of the Lord and turn the people to him. Perhaps he would stand up to his evil wife, Queen Jezebel, and put her in her place, but that's not what happened. Instead of turning from his evil ways, Ahab goes away from this event, whining to his wife Jezebel, "Oh, they killed the prophets." And in response, Jezebel swears an oath that Elijah is going to die by the very next day. And so on the heels of maybe the greatest victory that the Lord had given to Elijah, one of the greatest signs of the Old Testament, Elijah runs away. He goes south toward Judah, and once he's just inside Judah in Beersheba, he leaves his servant behind, and he traveled by himself another day into the wilderness, and then finding a broom tree there, he lay down underneath, and he prayed, "Lord, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life away. I am no better than my father's." Elijah said, "That's it. I'm done. Shouldn't this great victory, this great display of your power done something? Shouldn't the nation have been restored? At least, shouldn't your fiery sword of judgment have come upon the remaining unbelievers?" But nothing. Nothing seemed to happen. And for my trouble, I got a death threat. Let me die here in the wilderness like my ancestors did. I've had enough. I couldn't do any better than they could anyway at bringing people back to you. Do we ever see ourselves in Elijah, where he is in our text in that point of despair? You know, there have been many times in my life where I've seen that, where things just weren't going my way, where I was in despair, and I just wanted to throw in the towel, just give up. I wanted to conclude that God just wasn't working in my life, and I was discouraged and tired. Are there any tired people here this morning? Not just talking about tired because maybe you had trouble sleeping last night or didn't get to bed early enough, but that kind of tired that leads us to that despair, that tired of working, tired of failing, tired of being sick, tired of people, tired of being criticized or put down, tired of those bad habits that seem to enslave us, tired of debt, tired of being misunderstood or unappreciated, tired of the burdens of the rat race of life, tired of routines, tired of being tired. Does anyone feel self-pitying like Elijah did this morning? Does anyone here find themselves thinking, who carries a heavier load than me? Who is sicker than me, or sadder, or more burdened? Who is less fortunate? Who has less of the advantages of this world? And what about the struggles that we face for our faith, for being confessional Christians in this world that we live in? We know what Elijah felt like in that respect too. Instead of the people that we talk to about Jesus, instead of the people that we share our faith with, turning to the Lord, how often do they instead make fun of us, call us dumb, call us superstitious? How often is it that when we confront someone over their sin out of love with the motive of trying to turn them back to the Lord, how often, instead of that turning, do they respond to us instead with anger? We know those feelings all too well, don't we? Feelings of helplessness, of hopelessness, feelings of our own shortcomings and failures, those feelings of discouragement, of wanting to give up. We know just what it's like to be where Elijah was. But even when Elijah was at his lowest point, God came to him. In his despair, Elijah laid down and slept under that tree. He was beyond the point of depression where you have trouble sleeping, where you have trouble doing anything. He had just given up. He was to that point where all he could think to do was just lay down and sleep. And at that point, the Lord comes to him. Well, the Lord sends an angel to touch him and says, "Arise and eat." And Elijah looked up and there was some bread and there was a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and then he fell back asleep. But that angel came back and told him to get up and eat again. And this time when he ate, that food was able to strengthen him 40 days and 40 nights while he traveled through the wilderness being restored by God until he got to Mount Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai. That's the same mountain, of course, where the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And as we read later in 1 Kings, we see that God gives Elijah work to do again. So after he strengthened him, he gave him work to go and anoint two kings and to anoint Elisha as his own successor as the prophet to Israel. And by God's grace, feeding him with that bread and water from heaven and the word of that gentle whisper by which he came to Elijah, Elijah's defeatist attitude was gone, and he was ready again to go and do the work of the Lord. God had provided that food and drink for Elijah for his body, and he'd done that in a miraculous way, but more importantly, God had provided for Elijah's troubled soul that was filled with despair. Now, food and bread did much more than just keep Elijah's body going. It reminded him that the Lord was still by his side. Even though Elijah didn't understand why the nation didn't turn, he didn't understand what was going on there, he could be sure that the Lord was still by his side, that he still cared for him. The Lord found his worn-out prophet in his time of despair and gave him rest and refreshment for both body and soul. Doesn't he do the same for us? First of all, consider the rich blessings that he gives us. The clothes that we wear, the homes that we live in, the cars that we drive, the food that we eat. All of these things are blessings for him. All of these things are things that we probably take for granted. But every one of these gifts, great and small, are gifts from the Lord. Secondly, we recall what we know from the scriptures. The physical blessings that the Lord has given us in this world are pictures of the greater spiritual blessing that he has given us through Christ. When we're weary and burdened, he invites us to come to him for rest. We can unload our burdened consciences on him, unload them at the foot of the cross, where we receive the assurance that our sins, all of our sins, have been forgiven. When we're stressed out, when we're worn out by the worries, the anxieties, the pressures and illnesses, the hardships that plague our lives, the Lord invites us to bring every need that we have to him in prayer. And we can do so boldly and confidently, just as a child confidently goes to his father. And how do we know this? How do we know that the Lord listens to our prayers and that he hears our prayers, that he turns to us in our time of trouble and difficulty? There are a lot of people that rattle off that familiar phrase, "I know God has a plan for me." But they say it with little or no conviction. They say it kind of grasping at straws, hoping that God maybe will give them a break. So why can we be so confident the Lord hears and answers our prayers? Why can we so firmly believe that the trials and hardships that we face in this life are truly part of God's good and gracious plan for our lives? Because unlike us, Jesus never said, "It's enough. Lord, I've had enough." When the soldiers spat on him and mocked him and drove nails into his hands and feet and hoisted him up on the cross, he didn't say, "Lord, I've had enough, get me out of here, I don't want to do this." Instead, he endured the pain of death and hell for you and for me so that we don't have to face that. Instead of saying, "Lord, I've had enough," Jesus said, "It is finished." Life in this sinful world isn't always easy. In fact, it's almost never easy. It often leaves us discouraged, tired, wanting to just throw in the towel and give up. But just as God provided for Elijah in his darkest hour, so he provides for us. He forgives us of all of our shortcomings. And he gives us the strength, the encouragement that we need. He nourishes us through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross and who gives himself to us now in word and sacrament. It's been said that when God lets you stumble, he does so that you might fall into his arms. So next time that you're feeling distressed or discouraged or overwhelmed, the next time you feel like throwing in the towel because you've had enough of life, turn to God. Confess your inadequacies and your failures and your sins to him and be filled with that nourishment that he gives you. For the bread of life has come to take away your every failure, to take away your every distress and give you the energy that you need to go and work for him again. So remember the lesson that the Lord taught to Elijah that was repeated by Jesus with these words to his disciples just before his ascension, a wonderful promise for us today. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.